Everyone, and welcome to The Buzz, Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Hey, we circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the globe. And now it's time for the Boomerang Radio Show. I see some of my panelists there. Hey, Ann.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
Oh, pretty cool. Pretty good.
Can you hear me okay?
Are we what?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, fine.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, something's wrong with the headset. It's like the stuff is coming through the computer instead of tech support normally would set it up on, and I'm not messing with it, so I'm hoping that you can hear me okay.
No, I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, y'all sound good.
Okay. Mike Ward.
Hang on, just changing things real quick. Okay, we're good.
All right,
very good. Guys, forgive me. I'm trying to choke down my lunch.
Yeah, saw your private message there.
Like, why did you go to him next? You saw what he said. All you have to do is give him 2 more minutes. Really? Hey, Mike, trying to help.
Oh, yeah, you're trying to help. Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery. Hey, my friend, what's going on?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, you're fine. So I hope everyone had a wonderful week. Lots of things have been happening. The weather's been crazy here. A lot of just terrible storms. Not to the degree that our friends in the South has been suffering over the last several weeks or days or so, right? But I believe that weather is changing. Micah, we talked about this one day. Believe it or not, it was 75 degrees in Southern California and 95 degrees in Richmond. Now, Cindy, this isn't supposed to happen. This is not supposed to happen. Dr. Sims, how are you?
Hey, big sister.
Hey, sis. How is everybody? How are you?
We're good. I'm glad to see you off of your 3-month hiatus.
Oh, don't you worry about it.
Talking about right there. Get some business. Go get you a
No, all we're trying to say is that we miss you.
Wait a minute, I can't hear you.
Oh, you heard me.
I knew you got something smart to say.
You did.
Me? Oh, no.
What did you say?
I said, we miss you. That's what I said.
You didn't add nothing to that.
No, you were gone for about 3 months, weren't you?
It might be best that I didn't hear you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
What are you trying to say, Dr. Sims?
It's my business, and I'm grown. I can be gone as long as I want to.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hey, Mike, are you going to jump in? Mike, are you going to jump in and help your brother out?
Mike better stay safe.
Dr. Demery?
Yeah.
No, Mike. Mike wimped out on me. I'm going to get Dr. Demery to handle you, Dr. Sims. That's right.
No, Dr. Demery can't handle me. His wife is at his house. I live here. He can't handle me. Okay, I got refueled, so y'all better leave me alone.
There he is, big sister. Oh,
okay. Well, anyway, I thought that I would talk about some things that's happening in the news. We were talking about how Alabama has been ordered by the federal court to redraw their maps, because a lot of these states, they are gerrymandering. I mean, it's like it's no secret anymore. It never has really been a secret, but now they're just out in the open with it. And now there's even appealing this decision to the Supreme Court. I thought, and do you know anything about this? I have something here. Let's see. Hold on 1 second. Okay, let me see if I can go here. I might be able to find it. So, anyway, we've got a lot of great programs that's been happening. We have on Sundays, of course, we have the Boomerang. We have gospel in the mornings, then sermons by several preachers, and then the Boomerang, and then we have Sunday Night Goal, all right? And so, you know, let's just get your week started. And then on Mondays, we have Monday Night Madness, and unfortunately, the professor, he's left after 3 years. He's, you know, doing a lot of things. He's acting and writing, and I think he's working on his second or third book.
Wow.
So We had a nice send off for him on last Monday. It was really nice. Had a lot of surprise. We surprised him, Mike. Mike was on with me. Even had Q Lynn. Remember Q Lynn Green? And
yeah, how is she?
She's fine. She's in Oklahoma. Hadn't spoken to her in a few years, but she was a huge fan of the professor. And then we had Vail Omar, a singer. Yeah. Mike, who else did we have? It was about five,
six. Yeah, Jazz.
Jazz. Yeah, can't forget Jazz. Jazz is my co-host on Sunday Night Go. So if the professor is listening, I know he's a fan of the Boomerang Show also. If you're listening, hey, hope you have much success in your new endeavors, Professor. Learned a lot from you. He brought a lot to this program. And if you know anything about Monday Night Madness, it is a musicology show. And we go back and dig real deep, maybe, and share some things that the audience, as the audience, you may not know. So it was really, really a treat working with him. And on Tuesday, we got a special program coming up. We're going to honor Barry White. And I have this gentleman, I believe he's in Fresno, California, wow. Mike. And I heard some tapes by him, and you could close your eyes and you would think it's Barry White. I mean, it is, wow. He's just that good. He's very good. And on Wednesday's a new program called Cultural Excellence. And I've been interviewing quite a few, recording artists, Southern Soul artists, and we're going to bring on some R&B artists also. So anyway, enough of that. But let me see. I want to pull up this video because it's something,
Dr. Sims, did you see what he just did? He made it from Monday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I guess the rest of the week just don't matter anymore.
No, Mike, I'm going to come back with that later.
Okay. You know what?
Oh, we're back.
Let me start all over again. Hi, everybody, because I've been gone a while.
Hi.
And I had my guard up with Gets William because I know he's going to start some today. But anyway, I just want to say hello to everybody. I missed y'all. And so we're in a good spirit. And so, yeah, I'm very feisty. Yes, I am. I've got refortified, did a lot of thinking and, you know, revamping and think changes is, you know, going to be made as far as I'm concerned. But it was just a good, I needed to do what I had to do.
Good.
So it was a great thing. And then, too, my granddaughter, she got elevated to staff sergeant in the Army.
Nice.
So excellent. Heard of in such a speedy time. And one of my granddaughters, she's pursuing her law degree. And it's just a lot of things going on, which is great. So, but I'm glad to be back. And so, yeah. So let me start all over again, Dr. Demery. Yes, how are you doing, sir?
Uh-oh.
And no, you can't handle me. I'll still stick there. Anyway.
We can't hear you, Dr. Demery.
We can't hear you. I know he's got something to say.
Nobody can't talk about you. You ain't that big.
Wait a minute.
I told you what's in your house. Well, no, he had said, right. But I told you who's in your house, and you mind the things in your house now.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
Uh-huh. And she tells,
I'm back.
Yeah.
Right.
Tell him so. Hey, you know,
what is he saying?
What you said, Dr. Demery? You might have to switch computers. All right. Yeah, you might. No. We're not getting the audio from you.
Being smart, I'm probably not supposed to hear it.
Oh, it's by design.
Okay.
Let's see. His phone gold is Dr. Sim, so that's probably part of the problem. So.
Oh, yes, he did. Don't worry, Dr. Demery. I got you back. You know, right, I got you back. Don't worry about it.
You know, I ain't gonna let you gang up on her. So sorry.
Oh, please.
Just let it go.
Give me a break.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. And she told herself she's feisty. You've always been feisty.
Wrong answer.
You've always been feisty.
And it hasn't
what
changed.
Has changed, right?
Yes.
Okay.
William and Reverend Demery and everybody missed you. Y'all missed you.
Uh huh. Yeah. Okay. Right.
But I know that.
With me. Okay. Right. Well, let me start over again. Now on Thursdays, we have Miss CeCe's Kitchen. Okay, and after 3 months, she's returning to the set. Okay, all right. Miss CeCe's Kitchen, where it gets hot in the kitchen. It definitely gets hot in the kitchen. And then right after, now that starts at 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 4 o'clock on the West Coast. All right. Now, at 5:15 on the West Coast and 8:15 on the East Coast, we have Mad Mike and Wild Wheel Coast to Coast. That is an excellent show. It is an excellent show. Now, that is quite different from our other musical platforms, right? Because Mike and I, we'll play anything. Anything from country to blues to jazz to gospel, southern soul. You might even hear some Mozart. I mean, just about anything. We try to cover the gamut. And the idea there is to, our intention is to expand our audience's horizon, musical horizon. But guess what? Mike and I, we brought it up, or he brought it up last week. We're also expanding ours. Because Mike turns me on to a lot of music I hadn't heard on before. And I tell him in front of his face, I'm stealing this song. I'm putting this in my list.
at least he's honest about it.
Yep, absolutely. Right. No, Mike has turned me on. Mike, you do the same thing. Fair Exchange is no robbery.
I love the stuff from your list. You know, half of the stuff that you play, I've never heard before. So, I mean, it expands my horizons as well.
Yeah.
And plus, we do a little bit of what the professor used to do on Mondays. We delve into the musical, the artists and such. We talk about them as well. Not quite as deep as the professor's able to do. I just don't have that knowledge. But we tried to talk about some of the songs a little bit, how they evolved, how they were written, whether it came from a dark place or whether it came from a happy place or things of that nature.
Yeah, it's really a good show. It's really good. But anyway, we're going to dive into it, ladies and gentlemen. I have a video. Let me see if I can pull this up. My engineer isn't here, so, you know, I have a little trouble sometimes. Let's see if I can get this. All right, share. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's see if we can get it. All right, now. Guys, let me know if you.
Maps are concerned. Can you explain what just happened in court?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear that?
In a sweeping 222-page opinion, the federal court in Alabama told the state of Alabama, "Your map sucks, and it's going to be replaced, and it's going to get redrawn by a special master hired by the federal court." So all of the drama that we saw with the state of Alabama ignoring a federal court order, ignoring the Supreme Court, all of that's going to get wiped away, and there's going to be a special master who draws a new map for Alabama in time for 2024.
Is there any foul play that could occur with a court-assigned special master? I mean, we've seen foul.
Okay. Can you guys hear that?
Can't hear it. Can't do anything but see the screen.
You can't see it? I mean, you can't hear it?
Can't see it. I hear something that's a little choppy, but it's faint.
Okay, let's see what we can do here. Like I said, all right. How about...
William, go get your grandson.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
What you would tell me is go get Andre.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's see.
Payback is something else.
Isn't it? Oh, boy. Okay, let's see if I can do this. No, he's off today,
so. Is anybody else's screening canceling out? Is anybody else's screen canceling? And then I hear you sporadically, just like Dr. Demery Williams sometimes. So I don't know if you guys are getting that on your end.
Okay. I'm not doing this right. I'm going to try it one more time. Okay. Share screen. All right. And share. Okay. No, it's not doing it.
Okay, William, I believe you now that you are not a DJ. I believe.
No, William, I'm not. No. Okay. Anyway, let's get back. The gist of this whole thing was that Alabama has unfairly gerrymandered and redrew the districts, and they defied a court order, and now they are. And perhaps you might be able to pull that up.
I was just waiting on you to get back to me.
So I want you to give us the meat behind that.
This is an article from NPR. It's dated September 5th, but it says Alabama's congressional map is struck down again for diluting black voters. It was updated, like I said, on September 5th. Alabama is once again appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court, a lower court ruling that found the state's map of congressional election districts likely violates the Voting Rights Act by weakening black voters' power. The extraordinary move comes after a panel of three federal judges struck down Alabama's latest congressional redistricting plan for not following their court order to comply with the landmark civil rights law. In a court filing, the state says it plans to formally ask the country's highest court Thursday to put a pause on the ruling. It's unclear whether the Supreme Court, which upheld the lower court's earlier order about 3 months ago, is open to revisiting a case that has become a vehicle for not only testing the conservative justice's appetite for undoing the court's past rulings on Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, but also helping to determine which party controls the next U.S. House of Representatives. Alabama is also appealing the three-judge panel's latest ruling to the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. What the federal judges said in their new ruling? Well, in an order released Tuesday, the three federal judges said they are deeply troubled that the state enacted a map that the state readily admits does not provide the remedy we said federal law requires. We are not aware of any other case in which a state legislature, faced with a federal court order declaring that its electoral plan unlawfully dilutes minority votes and requiring a plan that provides an additional opportunity district, responded with a plan that the state concedes does not provide that district, said U.S. Circuit Judge Stanley Marcus, U.S. District Judge Anna Manasco, and U.S. District Judge Terry Moore. The law requires the creation of an additional district that affords black Alabamians, like everyone else, a fair and reasonable opportunity to elect candidates of their choice. The 2023 plan plainly fails to do so. For the 2024 elections, the judges have assigned court-appointed experts to draw three potential maps that each include two districts where black voters have a realistic opportunity of electing their preferred candidate. Those redistricting proposals are due to the court by September 25th. All sides in this case will be able to challenge the proposals produced by the court's special master and cartographer, the judges have said. A hearing on any objections is tentatively set for October 3rd. So, we'll go back to the Supreme Court. The state of Alabama had previously signaled in court filings it would appeal this kind of ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court. We intend to promptly seek review from the Supreme Court to ensure that the state can use its lawful congressional districts in 2024 and beyond, Amanda Priest, spokesperson for Alabama State Attorney General, said Tuesday in a statement. The panel's latest ruling is part of a long-running legal fight over a redistricting plan that could help change the balance of power in the U.S. House after next year's elections. Before reviewing the congressional map passed by Alabama's Republican-controlled legislature in July, the three judges threw out an earlier redistricting plan approved by state lawmakers after finding that it likely violated Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act by diluting the power of Alabama's black voters. Out of the state's seven congressional voting districts, that plan included only one opportunity district for black voters in a state where black people make up more than a quarter of the state's residents. The judges ordered instead a new map with two opportunity districts for black voters, and black Alabamians, they noted, would need to make up the majority of the voting age population or something quite close to it in each of those districts, given how racially polarized voting is in the state. In Alabama, the panel has found majority black districts are likely to elect Democrats and majority white districts are likely to elect Republicans. The state is facing a looming logistical deadline for next year's races. Alabama's top election official, Secretary of State Wes Allen, a Republican, has told the court that finalizing a redistricting plan by around October 1st will provide enough time to reassign voters, print and distribute ballots, and otherwise conduct the forthcoming 2024 primary elections based on the new map. The legal battle over Alabama's congressional districts is expected to continue with the court trial about the map that will be used for the 2026 elections.
Mm. Wow. Let's see. What did we leave? What did we lose just now?
Look like, well, from what I can tell, it's just me and you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Oh, she is you.
Yeah, Liz. I'm having problems with my computer, so I don't know what's going on. I mean,
I think when William shared,
you sound like you.
Dr. Sims, I think it's your bandwidth. It's probably not your computer, but the bandwidth is probably disrupted by what you said, the weather, because that happened with William the other night, too. The weather was so bad.
Wow.
So don't freak out. It's probably not your computer. It's just the bandwidth.
I noticed that her video is a little blurry, too. But would that be the same issue, Mike?
She's frozen now. Well, no, she's moving at this point. Okay.
It'll disturb both the sound and the picture.
That makes sense. So let's see if we can, you might want to log back in. Let's see if that'll help out a little bit.
Okay, if anybody can hear me,
I think she's good now.
And log back in. Because everybody's clocking except for Dr. Demery.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to try this again.
Okay. All right, we'll work on that. But anyway, and it's like these people are blatant now. In their deception. And I think it is absolutely horrible because some people say, what's the need in voting? When you have a lot of people who don't vote at all because they say, what good does it do? Okay. Well, you can tell what happens when you don't, and especially if you put the wrong people in office. And it's more or less, and I have coming up on my Wednesday show, I have an educator, and she is running for school district out here in Richmond, Virginia. So why do I have an educator that I'm broadcasting all over the world, but she's in a local election. But I want to point out how important our local elections are. They're very important. And you would think that if you really take a look at it, what's more important than your children and their welfare and their education? And if you have somebody, and Mike and I, we talk about that too. If you have someone who really aren't even qualified, you don't have to be qualified to run for school board. I mean, you don't have to have, all you have to have is enough people to give you enough money so you can just campaign, you know, and you can get your name out. And then we have powers to be, okay, people that we don't know, and they put their own people in these areas. And the same thing with gerrymandering. I think that is one of the most unfair things that you can do to a citizen. Is to, you're actually denying them their due right when you gerrymander like that. And I don't know, it seems like to me, and the thing about it, it's not illegal. Well, it is in this case right here because they've been challenged, okay? And if they defy the federal court, and if they defy the Supreme Court, what are some of the consequences that could happen with that, Ann?
Well, this is going to be interesting to see, actually. We've had people in the past who have done things like defy court orders. You've seen, like, for instance, I think it was Mark Meadows, who's the most recent one who didn't comply with the subpoena he didn't comply with? Forgive me if I'm getting the facts confused. But he's been convicted. He got convicted this week. And you've got those types of situations when it's comes to an individual, but in this particular case, you've got a whole state that's defying a court order and violating the Voting Rights Act. So it's going to be interesting to see how the state of Alabama is treated after this Supreme Court ruling. If the Supreme Court upholds the lower court's ruling, if the state of Alabama still refuses to comply. So first they've got to, of course, go through their legal options, which, as we know, they've applied again for an appeal to the Supreme Court. And after that plays out, we'll see what happens.
Right. Well, you know, and Mike, these things, like, you know, fair is fair. If you win fair and fair, I mean, that's why I think that they should get rid of that doggone electoral college. I really do. I think that if you win by one, to me, you should win. It's just like any other sport or anything else. But of course that, I do think that that should be abolished. I think, okay, that's better, Dr. Sims. That's much better, I believe. Okay.
In order to abolish the Electoral College, Congress can't do that on its own. Basically, since that's a constitutional provision, that would be one of those things that has to be put to each state. And 2/3 of the states, if I'm not mistaken, would have to agree to abolish it before it would become law. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, it's not such an easy thing to do away with. You'd have to, well, let's just put it this way. We say it's an act of Congress to get something done. Forget an act of Congress. An act of Congress to get that done.
No, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, and we're talking about, I tell you something, like I said, we were talking one time about, well, both sides and, you know, both Republican and Democrats, and I know Mike hate all of them. So he's an equal opportunity hater.
Don't make a secret out of it either. Liars, cheats, thieves, and whores.
Neither. Come on, Mike.
If I can chime in here for just a second.
Please do.
I understand that, the total of the vote should mean something. So if you get, like you said, one more vote than the other person, then you should win. Now, looking at the other side, which I always like to do, I try to balance things out. And I read something, I don't know how true this is, and you're real good at betting, but I was told that if you got rid of the Electoral College, that what would happen, because the two populous states are like New York and California, that they would end up getting who they want and the rest of the states wouldn't really have much of an opinion. So I don't know how true that is.
Well,
there are 330 million people in the United States. And yes, California is populous. Yes, New York is populous, but Texas is just as big, if not bigger. I mean, Texas is bigger than some countries on the planet. So you've got people all over this country, and that, yeah, they have a lot of people concentrated in those two or three states, but you still have to get the rest of us to vote. I don't think that is true. The way that they're explaining it. Now, if I remember correctly, you had the last election, like 70 million people voted for Biden and 60 million voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So that lets you know that everybody who is voting is not concentrated in California and New York, because those two states didn't vote for Trump. But there were 60 million people who did. So where were those 60 million people and all the red states that voted for him? So I don't believe doing away with the Electoral College will unfairly benefit who New York and California voters choose. I think it'll benefit the people of the United States, because we have lost too many good presidents because you had the popular vote, meaning the majority of people voted for one person to be president, but the Electoral College assignment of votes gave the win to somebody that the people didn't choose to be their president. So that's the problem with the Electoral College. I don't agree with form gave you that information.
I agree with that. I agree with you, Ann. I think that now in the electoral, you're looking at 500, I forgot exactly how many, it's 500 and some odd number, and I forgot exactly how many. My problem with the Electoral College is that you have 500 plus people, or the majority of it, of people, and I think you need to get to 278 to win.
I think 534. Five total votes.
Right.
And so yeah, you got to get, or is it 570? Something like that.
I said
you need 235 to win. Hold on, let me double check. I don't want to lie to y'all.
Yeah, we'll get that. But see, so you're looking at around 300. I think to win, you need 278, I believe. But we'll let Ann check that out. So whatever that number is, and we'll get the exact.
It's 538.
Uh-huh.
count, and you need 270 to win.
270 to win. So you mean to tell me that 270 people gets to decide who's the president? I don't think that's right. I really don't. Go on, Ann.
The way that it works is not necessarily people. Each state is assigned a number of votes. And so the number of votes assigned to each state is what determines, you know, the calculation. So let's say one state has, because of its population size, only 4 electoral college votes, but another state like California, New York, or Texas may have 20. And I'm just, you know, throwing numbers out there willy-nilly. I'm not saying these are the actual numbers. So if, say, the state of Texas wanted a Republican and they've got 20 votes, but the states who want a Democrat, you know, they only have 4 votes each, it's going to take a lot more of those smaller states to overcome just that 120 block that Texas has. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. But now don't, but each one of those votes represents a person though, right? Because, think about it. When, Trump, they tried to rig, this thing, I think Georgia had, 16 electors or it's, they call it electors, right?
Right. Electors. Yeah.
Electors.
They cast the votes for the particular state. So if a state has 20 votes that needs to be cast, the electors are the ones who cast
those votes.
They're supposed to cast the vote, as the will of the people in that state elected the official. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you get an elector who does not cast the vote, like they're supposed to. And that, how that is handled varies from state to state because each jurisdiction is responsible for the voting system in its own state.
Right, right, right. Oh, and also the guy who defied that congressional subpoena, that was Peter Navarro.
Was it Navarro?
Not Mark Meadows.
Meadows got in trouble for something.
Yeah, Peter Navarro. and he came with what he called the Green Bay sweep.
Okay.
He got on TV bragging about it, and so now his butt is facing prison time. Okay. And so the thing about it.
Why? Because he did that? Because he did.
He defied a congressional subpoena. Mm-hmm. He defied.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
When they were doing that, I think it was that had to do with J6, January 6th, the riots. And Congress, that committee had subpoena power. And so he just thumbed his nose up at him. Hey, say, hey, you know, Mr. President is going to protect me.
right.
Well, I got a question for him. How did that work out for you? Okay. How did that work out? And so, but that was Mark Meadows. Now, he did suffer a defeat this week though, also.
Yeah.
Because he tried to get his case.
He had something going on too.
Yeah. He tried to get his case moved to federal court instead of state court. All right. You know what he was trying to pull. He was trying to pull an end around on that. Because he figured that, okay, if a Republican gets in the White House, he's going to get pardoned anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So he wanted to move to federal court and he figured that he would have a better shot in the federal court than he would at the state court. Because now, you cannot get a pardon in the state court. And Fannie Willis, oh, she's on top of it. She is, and a lot of people say, well, she charged 19 people. How are you going to do that? And I can understand why she did that because she doesn't want to have, well, she didn't want to try them separately because that means she has to tell that story 19 different times. And so, and then all you need is one to get off and that could throw a monkey wrench. And you know more about this than I do. And that could throw a monkey wrench in the whole conviction, or getting these people off, right? All you need is one to get off and then the others might have grounds to get off as well. So.
Well, she's charging them, you know, based on a conspiracy racketeering charge.
Uh-huh. RICO. So,
right, RICO. Now, just because one person may be found not guilty doesn't necessarily mean that they all will be found not guilty.
Right.
Can you say that you weren't a a co-conspirator? You know, can you prove that you weren't? And that's just going to depend on what exactly they're doing. For instance, some things that people did that would not necessarily be considered a crime all by itself, but if you participated in an action that, even though normally that wouldn't be a crime, say for instance, calling the governor of Georgia and saying, "I have the president on the line for you," normally that wouldn't be a crime. If the president's calling the, you know, because he wants to steal the election in Georgia, and you're aware of this, and you're facilitating this, then that may make you a co-conspirator. Right. So, you know, we saw that in the fact that she didn't indict everybody that the first grand jury recommended. Like, for instance, when I heard the names on there, I was like, where was Lindsey Graham? That was my first thought.
Right, absolutely.
This too. And come to find out, the first grand jury recommended him to be listed as part of the conspiracy. But that grand jury didn't have the power to say, these are the people that should be indicted. The second grand jury did. Mm-hmm. And they chose the 19 people who were indicted by Fannie Willis. Now, that's not to say that Lindsey Graham and those other people won't be indicted separately and charged individually for crimes if they are found to have, you know, by the prosecutor to have committed some other crime that wasn't necessarily the crime of racketeering, conspiracy, whatever you want to call it. But right now, for purposes of this particular case, those 19 people, they probably chose them because the connections are really strong. Mm-hmm. Normally, a prosecuting attorney is trying a case if they feel like they can win.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably feel like they can win it if they focus on these 19 people that they chose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Sims?
Oh, I'm just listening. I wasn't caught up into this, so I have to catch up.
Okay. Well, and then, you know, this thing about it is, and I want to also address, those out in the audience that says, well, both sides are doing this, both sides are doing that. And I think what is a doggone shame is like you take these prosecutors now that's trying to prosecute these people, including Trump. They're now getting death threats. Fannie Willis is getting death threats. And we've got this no good Congress, and this is the Republicans. I'm gonna call them out right now, like your Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and these guys. They are actually putting a target on these judges' backs, and I think it should be something done about that. And as far as the law is concerned, you can jump in right after this, but I'm gonna ask Ann this legal question here first. When you started, could they be charged with interfering? I know people don't want to put their hands on a congressman or a senator, but can they be charged with interfering? Because what they're doing is absolute. They're wrong. They get on it, and she's a racist. She's this and she's that. And even some of the members of her grand jury, and I think Georgia, this is stupid for them to do this. They posted the names of the jurors.
Of the jurors?
Posting the names.
And that's the thing. The thing that they did was only post names. They didn't know where these people necessarily lived. So they basically used a phone directory and said, these are all the possibilities. So they're not just targeting the people who were actually on the jury who indicted Trump and the other 18 co-defendants. They're like, since they don't know exactly where those people are, these are all the possibilities. Harass all of them. So, yeah, they are definitely making it much less likely that people will want to volunteer to do their civic duty.
Mm-hmm.
And there are laws against that, but they vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Most of the states in the federal government, however, consider jury tampering to be a felony offense. offense. Mm-hmm. So that means at least 1 year prison time, or more. I hope they get this under control, because on the one hand, you know, Georgia's one of those jurisdictions that, has this indictment system, which basically they take evidence to a jury. The jury decides whether or not there's enough evidence to charge a person. Under their system, they do and have for years and years and years listed the names of the people who were on the jury. It has not been a problem until now.
Yeah.
That you have these MAGA nuts conspiracy looking to see, okay, these are all the names of the people who were on it. Let's target these people. Let's target the district attorney. Let's target the judge. And that's a problem that we really need to get under control, because now you're going to have a whole lot more people who are afraid, number one, to come out and serve as jurors, mm-hmm. and we them. But our system of jurisprudence is another one of the backbones of our democracy. Okay. Now, I'm not saying it's always fair. We know that it can be unjust. But at the same time, we have been working towards making it a more fair, equitable, just system for everybody. And so for them to undermine it in this way is another one of those pillars to tearing down the democratic system that we have, and another move towards autocracy. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, and then we're going to go to Mike. I need Mike's opinion as well. Can Fannie Willis, she has no jurisdiction over what the Congress does or Senate does in Washington, D.C., right? She has no jurisdiction. In other words, I find what people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and some of these other clowns, what they're doing, they're actually putting a target on some of these prosecutors' backs. I mean, what can be done by that? Perhaps she doesn't want to do it. I don't know. Does she have any jurisdiction, or is it, or can the DOJ do something about that?
That's an and question. That's not for me. I will interject one thing here, though. You can't pretend this is all one-sided. Look at what they did with this. You may not like it, but look what they did with the Supreme Court judges after the Roe decision. They published their addresses. The one guy drove all the way from, what, California to go to wherever the judges live to get the one judge.
No. Yeah.
So don't we can't close our eyes and pretend it only happens one-sided. Because, and that's why I hate all these politicians. They're all trying to do they're trying to feather their own nest. And then whether you're far left or far right, both of those are wrong. Both are wrong.
So well, yeah, wrong is wrong.
That's my two cents worth.
You know, I go along with wrong is wrong when I'm looking at what's happening here. But when you talk about voter fraud, okay, the cases that they have found as far as voter fraud is concerned, they've been Republicans. Okay, as far as not doing anything, as far as Congress is concerned, it has been Republicans. I'm serious about that. Now, they're threatening to shut down the government again. They are threatening to shut down the government if they don't get their way.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
Can I ask you a question? You know, I'm hearing you saying that with all of this that's going on, the voter fraud and naming one party as the Republicans, but you know, I'm in the same arena as Mike. I don't trust none of them. And the reason why is because we're only given the information that's allowed. We don't know what those charlatans on both sides are doing. I mean, I know we have data that is given out there. And I think we discussed this before I went on my sabbatical. We have data out there that we cannot even put a stamp on it and say it's concrete, because we don't know. They fix numbers, they fix reports, and they put it out there on what you want to believe. And the reason why I say this, because, and I don't want to get off the topic, but I've been watching some other things, and it's so much crazy stuff that's going on right now. And it's causing the people to gear away from what the White House is doing. And the White House, all they are about themselves. Now here, and I may be getting off a little bit, and I heard somebody say that this is so profound. If they would get it right and put it on paper, They really work for us, okay? Mm-hmm. We should have the say-so who's doing right. what because we are their bosses, period.
Right.
We put them in here, and guess what? We call the shots because right. it's for our people, period. Mm-hmm. We put them in there as a spearhead, but they mm-hmm. should be, what they should be was saturating themselves and hearing the voice of the people. What do you think? We should do about this. Take it as a suggestion. Put it on the table. But these charlatans up there, I don't care what name they got in front of them, what position they sitting under, they're all about themselves. I cannot take credit from one and give credit to another. They're doing this to keep us so enamored and engrossed in what they're doing and making mm-hmm. it look like this person is, this group of body of, a sentence in the White House is so for getting things right. And this one over here is so getting things wrong. But let's put the thing on the table. Mm-hmm. It's been this way from eons of time. This is nothing new. It's just getting worse and worse mm-hmm. and worse because it is all about control, folks. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with my food costs going up higher, my bills going up higher. You see, I'm getting less money, but they getting paid more. Come on now. Okay. I know I done jumped off something else.
No, that's okay. No, you're entitled to your opinion and you're fine. Mike and I.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it can't be concrete.
No.
You can't say the Republicans are doing this and I'm like,
well, I can.
They're all.
Okay. I'm based on the information that I have and all of us, excuse me. All of us are privy to the same information. Based on the information and what I see, okay, it's the Republicans that are holding up everything. They've been in Congress for 9 months, and all they're doing is trying to find some dirt on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden instead of passing sensible laws. They will not pass a sensible gun legislation. They will not pass, infrastructure. They've voted, all of them voted against that, but yet when they finally passed, when the Democrats passed it, guess what the Republicans are doing? They are taking credit for the money coming into their own districts. They are voting down everything that has to do with, things that are sensible, reasonable, and I'm gonna tell you something about the money, the price is going up. It didn't just start with Biden, okay? Because guess what? Because we have a supply chain crisis. We had COVID that happens. And I'm going to tell you something else. Biden can do like gas prices, for instance. He can only do so much. He can release some of our reserves, but that's controlled by OPEC. That's controlled by OPEC. They set the gas prices. Okay. With the war in Ukraine and Russia starting that. Now Russia also is a major contributor for oil. Okay, a lot of people get their oil from Russia as well. And so I didn't say that every Democrat is a saint. I didn't say that at all. But I'm looking at who is trying to do the work, okay? And I'm looking at, there are some serious Democrats that are trying to do the work, and I'm looking at just the opposite on the Republican side. I'm looking at this with my own eyes. Look, I'm going to do this. Hold on 1 second. Mike, you can take over. Hold on. Look at that clown, Jim Jordan. Come on now. Now he, as a matter of fact, he's got some serious allegations behind him because there were some boys up in Ohio State that were molested by the doctor, and he closed a blind eye to that. You take Matt Gaetz. He's being investigated for sex trafficking. Okay. Now they've been spending all this time. Now hear me out. They've been spending all this time. They want to investigate Hunter Biden. Fine. If Hunter Biden did whatever he did, if he needs to be locked up, lock him up.
And, yet, and if the Daddy same, was part of it, he needs to be gone too.
If
he's dirty, if he's as dirty as his son, he needs to go too.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. If he is dirty, but they have yet to have one single thing on Biden. Now his son, yep, I think they got him dead to right. Now at the same time, Congress should also be investigating the Trump crime family. Okay? The Trump crime family. They are not doing that at all. Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis. $2 billion with a B. He had gotten $1 billion while he was in the White House to build on his property on Fifth Avenue. 666. Okay, Fifth Avenue. Okay, he got $1.2 billion. And he got that from Qatar. Okay? He got, and then when Jared and Ivanka was in the White House, you know how much the money they made while they were in the White House? And they weren't supposed to? Over $600 million.
Well, that's
let me finish.
That's why they're being silent now.
Well, they are. Well, this is my point. Congress should be investigating those people too. Ivanka Trump, she got over 13 patent, well, more than that from China. They're not investigating her. That makes no sense. Donald Trump made $1 billion while he was president. That wasn't supposed to happen either. You see? So, no, I do see, some sensible, Democratic Congress people that are trying to get something done, and the Republicans aren't getting anything done. Now, again, I'm gonna repeat myself. I didn't say all Democrats were saints either. I didn't say that. Okay. But I'm looking at who's doing the work and who's not doing the work. Yes, sir, Mike, you got it.
Let me pose a question to all of you. Medicare, Social Security, mm-hmm. the post office, immigration, border, both sides come in and they get into power or out of power, but they all say they're going to fix it. They're going to fix Social Security. They're going to fix Medi-Cal. They're going to fix the border. They're going to fix the post office. And this has been going on for decades. If both sides want to fix it, why isn't it fixed?
Because you have multiple people with different agendas. It's mm-hmm. one thing for you and me and William, and Dr. Sims and Reverend Emery to say, we want to fix something. We got to agree on how that gets done, what that means by fixing it. What it means in Texas is putting buoys in the water so people trying to cross over drown. What it means for a president like Trump, it means a border wall. What it means for people like DeSantis and the governor of Texas is shipping people who are allowed into the country legally to other jurisdictions to overwhelm those jurisdictions in order to make a point. In other words, everybody is not on the same page. You have people who claim to want to fix a problem, but what they mean is we don't want these people here. So our solution is don't let them in the country, bar them from getting in the country. We are a country that's made on immigrants. Mike, you talk all the time about your mom being from England.
Scotland.
You know, I'm sorry. Well, the United Kingdom, right, somewhere over there. My bad. You talk a lot about that. So you are a product of that. Trump, who was Trumpeting people coming from S-word countries, his wives, are from other countries and mm-hmm. not the most glamorous countries either. I think poor Eastern European countries, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So they're not the best places on the planet either, but his wives, his kids are all a product of America being a nation of immigrants. But his solution is, he only wants basically white people to come in from countries that he likes, but he doesn't want black brown people to come in from countries that he doesn't like. So that's the type that you have. You have people who claim to want to fix a problem, but they don't want mm-hmm. to really agree on how to come to a solution that's beneficial that everybody can agree on.
Mm-hmm. And I'm tell you
my issue is to have people come here legally, not illegally, and have a system that's fair and equitable for everybody, regardless of what part of the world you come from. So it should apply to Canada just like it applies to Mexico or Scotland.
Agreed.
You have to have a system in place, and yet these politicians can't put their mush heads together and create one simple system that's fair for everybody. How is that so hard? There's five of us talking right now. I'll bet you within 1 hour, we could probably come up with a system.
We have a system in place.
It's broken.
It's been there for a long time. That's what this country was built on. You have people flooding into the United States for like 100 years from all over the world because they were coming based on a promise. And when the country was being built up, that wasn't a problem. It's a problem now to a select group of people because they feel like they are no longer the majority. than the people coming in.
Well, they need to do the, okay, they need to, here's the deal. When what was that, Prop 42, when that expired and they were coming over in groves, really, to me, they really didn't have a concrete plan to stop the influx of immigrants to come over here. In fact, I believe I heard on the news where they had the nerve to ask people to open up their homes and let some of these immigrants in to stay. I don't think so. That is the oxymoron to me, really. And then my thing is this. I'm looking at Mitch McConnell, and I know he's a Republican. He's too old. He needs to retire. He needs to retire.
So's Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, you're late.
And wait a minute. Wait. I was getting ready to run down the line, okay, because we have a lot of them stuffed shirts. They too old. They have old, stubborn opinions and values. They don't want to bend. That's Republican and Democrats. We need some fresh blood up there. Mm-hmm. Some young folks who are not afraid to tackle issues and not, I mean, what they do. I find that if you listen to this young generation, they will get a resolve, Mike, like you're talking about. Okay. They have a sensible logic of thinking and not having stuck on old values. Mm-hmm. Okay. And old opinions, mm-hmm. and old, my daddy used to do this and my daddy and mama used to do this. Miss me with that. Okay. Cause mm-hmm. them days is over. All right. Mm-hmm. Now we have an influx of people coming here. They're already talking about population control. It is out of control. Mm-hmm. They are sending back people of other ethnic groups who they don't desire to be here. I thought it was an open border. Anybody can come. No, mm-hmm. you're showing racism at the border, people. Okay. Yeah. So my thing is this. They need to get it to, I told you I'm back, right? Mm-hmm. They need to get it together because there is an agenda that both parties are rallying for. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. And the agenda is now, I don't know if you talked about this, AI people, we better wake up.
Oh.
We are so busy mm-hmm. fighting against each other. Since I was on, and I've been really, well, I pay attention anyway, but mm-hmm. after being away from, you know, I stayed away from the media altogether, whether it's on here, because I was having a breakdown, okay, mm-hmm. from all of the crap mm-hmm. that's on there. I'm not talking about just losing it. I'm mm-hmm. talking about having me have anxiety attacks, okay? Mm-hmm. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. It is designed to do that. So guess what? Cecilia's going to do what's best for her, all right? Right? And a lot of this foolishness that they're talking about, it's not concrete. And I know everybody's entitled of their opinion, but the people, I'm listening to the people now who are speaking up and talking about, we hired you. We are your bosses. They are becoming aware of what's going on. And I know that these politicians are aware that we're becoming aware. When we were asleep and not paying attention, okay, as a nation as a whole, they were just cool with it for us to accept any kind of report that they submitted to us. We swallowed it like little birds. That mm-hmm. is not happening anymore. We have a generation who are very, very wise, mm-hmm. right? And we have some people who can see through that malarkey. And I'm not gonna, my thing is this, when you've been as many years, and I think all of us is up in age, and Dr. Demery, I know you older than salt pepper too. And anyway,
yeah. He said salt pepper.